Well, we had a very set plan of what we're going to talk about when we came here this morning. And listening to the wealth of information that we've got from everybody today, I've been scribbling notes furiously thinking, we've covered that, we've said this. And I actually came here feeling quite smug as a local authority service, thinking we are very good at participation. Our whole service has been designed by young survivors of CSE. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But what I've realised by being here today is we've dipped our toe in it, and it's actually, what did you say?
Your route.
We're just on the journey in participation. Absolutely, there's a lot more that we can do. But I think, from a local authority perspective, looking at young people and young survivors of CSE, young people are exposed to such high risk. It's been very brave in Greater Manchester to start that journey and actually to relinquish some of those decision making. So I feel very proud, but I do feel like we're on our journey listening to what everybody has said. Anyway, my name is Nick Marsh. I feel just to get some energy in the room, I wish we could do some sun salutations to reinvigorate ourselves. And it was sunny up north when we left. It's nice to see some rain. But my name is Nick Marsh, I'm the operational development lead for Achieving Change Together, which is lots of terms you've heard today. And our whole service, the look of it, the name of it, actually everything from start to finish has been designed by participation, not just from young people, but by social workers, people from the SARC, psychologists, police, etc., but primarily with young people in mind.
We've only got 11 now from Nick, and that's 5. And I'm Damien Dallimore, and I'm the lead for tackling child sexual exploitation for Greater Manchester. I too have completely rewritten what I've got to say, so based on what we've heard, it's been fascinating, really learnt a huge amount today. And I suppose my role's a fairly difficult one to describe. I'm similar to Joe, I suppose, jack of all trades, master of none. And I've been described as a lot of things over the years, and probably some of those rude words that you were mentioning before. But we've talked about agenda setters and policy makers and things like that, and I suppose I fall into that category. So I'm employed by local authorities, but I'm a partnership lead for tackling child sexual exploitation. So I work with police, health, third sector, etc., to build a strong partnership in response to the problem of CSE. And it's worth saying that in Greater Manchester, CSE is one of the top priorities. My programme board, to whom I report every 2 months, is made up of the Police and Crime Commissioner, the Mayor, Chief Execs of local authorities, Directors of Children's Services, Chief Superintendents, etc. So at the most senior level, there is really strong buy-in to this agenda. So I have the area. Things that we are trying to do on the ground are reaching the very top in Greater Manchester. Greater Manchester, if you didn't know, is made up of 10 different districts, and each of those districts has its own multi-agency, co-located CSE team. So they are dedicated to tackling this problem on a daily basis. You have police officers and social workers, nurses, parenting support workers, therapeutic support, all working together in teams to tackle this problem. I came into the project in 2014, and I'm effectively an outsider looking in initially, to see what the state of the nation was and how we were dealing with it and where there were opportunities to improve. And my honest opinion of what I saw was that we had a lot of really hard-working, dedicated, knowledgeable professionals who were doing their best to keep children safe despite the system they were working in. The system was imperfect. It wasn't helping them. They had ridiculously high caseloads, and they genuinely cared about these children, but the system wasn't supporting them in keeping those children safe. One of the tasks I was asked to do in year one was to develop some guidance locally that said, these are the interventions that work with these children, this is how we think you as teams should be operating to keep them safe. And I said, I can't do it. Because whilst I can say that in 90% of cases we are keeping these children safe, there are a small cohort, but very challenging cohort of children, for whom our interventions are not working, and we're trying everything. And when we ran some analysis on that, won't bore you with all the details, but in 2014 we found 105 children that for whom CSE was the main risk factor in their lives, who were placed in secure accommodation, or high-cost placements, often hundreds of miles away from home. And the cost to Greater Manchester for those children, and accommodation costs alone, was £9 million a year. For those children, it was rare that outcomes were improved for having done that, for placing them in secure. It was an option of last resort. It was, we tried what we can within that imperfect system. It hasn't worked, so we put them in secure. We send them off to Scotland or hundreds of miles away for their own safety. And actually what we said was, we think there's probably, there is a better way of working with those children. Identifying them earlier, working with them in a different way that keeps them closer to home, but helps us to keep them safe. And that was the spark for the project. And we put a bid in just short of £1 million to the DfE Innovation Fund in 2015 and was successful. And I suppose how our bid was different to many others nationally was that we went to the DfE with the problem, but no solution. Most of the successful projects that were funded went to test the solution, said this is what we want to test out. And Nicol described what we did, and then I'll reflect on whether we were successful or not.
Okay, so we went to, as Damien touched on, we said that we actually wanted to approach it in this three-tiered approach, which is really four tiers if you think of evaluation. We wanted to research the area of young people, including case file analysis. We did completed six different pieces of research, which I'll touch on shortly. Then we would take the principles of that research and go into co-design with young survivors of CSE, some of the research participants of CSE, and then we spoke about 60 individuals in total. And then we would practice that over a year, those principles, and refine the service, gaining feedback from the service users to see, is this working, is this not working? And then after a year, which finished in December, we had a finished product and finished products. And that brought about some challenges. We've worked with Camille and Abby sat here with regards to it, actually, how do we shift, make a cultural change in how social workers, because it's a team of social workers and a trauma therapist, how do we make a cultural shift of how they think and work with families, from problem profiling into looking at strengths, looking at a future focus. The six pieces of research that we completed are listed here, and they're all publicly available, and our website is at the end of these slides, so you can go and access this research yourself. But they were looking at CSE particularly, but I can't remember who said it earlier on. CSE is just a prism that we've used really to look at adolescents, vulnerable adolescents, because all our findings relate to just young people who are vulnerable through circumstance, through networks, through previous life experience. So CSE is a small aspect of that. And I think as we're progressing, we'll probably walk away from CSE and just look at vulnerable adolescents. We did an evidence scope, so more academic piece of work, but the most powerful one from probably a participatory point of view is the Child's Voice interviews with the Children's Society completed. We commissioned the Children's Society to complete the Child's Voice, and it is literally 35 pages of statements from young people, which I shared with Camille, and that's really our guiding document. All these documents say the same thing, just through a different lens, and those principles have really helped shape and design our service. Some of the message from research, research and practice distilled all of the research into six principles, which are very professional, but I thought, given the agenda today is about participation, I actually went back to the Child's Voice and brought out these three principles, which the young people have stated in our co-design. So although these are raised in the literature, when we had our co-design sessions, these were really reinforced, and it was really refreshing to sit here today and hear people talk about these already. So I won't repeat them too much, but what the first thing young people said is that they didn't, well, what we could see, because we completed case file analysis of their lives, and then we interviewed them biographically, and then they joined a co-design, and we could see that they had a really poor understanding of their life experiences, and what that often led to was their internalising the problems of everything that's happened in their family is their fault. Well, if I went to school, my mum and dad would have been split up, this wouldn't happen, I'd cause arguments, etc. The other aspect of that was we've produced a resource. It's not an assessment tool, but it's how we gather young people's views with the support of Camille and Research and Practice That's Homes and the young people. We actually have, I know chronologies are really important in social work terms because you have to understand the experience of these young people, but we specifically, the social worker will lead the chronology, but we ask the young person to write the events in their life that have been important to them and what they think have defined them. And this creates two things, that the young person isn't defined by things that they want to move away from. And we start to think about the solutions and the futures of these young people rather than trying to fix problems that they've experienced. And this provides a lot of hope for the young people. Young people also do not feel included in their plans, and they feel like there's a list of problems to be solved, and this was so loud and clear. And I'm a social worker, I've managed students, I've been a frontline practitioner, and quite often you're going, oh, so your mum drinks, oh, there's domestic violence, women's aid, get drug and alcohol, so you're not in school. It's all about how do we solve these problems, well, rather than looking at the holistic needs. Not everything in a family is particularly bad. How do we build on the strengths from there? Not gratuitously, but really genuinely look at what the strengths are within this family, what the strengths within their network. So we've designed tools in our whole system from start to finish. If a young person's referred to ACT, their experience is remarkably different than if they're referred to statutory services, because it's been designed by young people. And the last bit that I'll touch on, because I'm very conscious of time, is relationships matter. You were saying before, it's a human aspect. This underpins, and this is why I put it at the bottom, everything. You cannot do work with young people if you do not have a genuine relationship with them, where you care for them. And I speak in my supervision sessions with my social workers, I ask them, do you love this young person? How do you care about this young person? What's your contact? And if they're not the right fit, we have to talk about that openly and frankly. So relationships are absolutely key to move people from A to B and to support them in making those decisions themselves.
It's hard to fit all this. I mean, this is 3 years worth of work in 11.5 minutes, so we're really just skimming the surface.
We're trying to ignore you.
So what we've allowed Nick and his team to do, to a degree, is operate kind of in a bubble, kind of outside of statutory guidelines. We've done that with permission, and we've done it safely, and we've done it because the research told us it was the right thing to do. Children, professionals, parents told us it was the right thing to do. For me now, I don't want this to operate in a bubble anymore. It's currently in operation in Rochdale and Wigan, two of our 10 local authorities. And we're currently looking at ways in which we can roll that out across the rest of Greater Manchester. Now, clearly cost is an issue. We are in discussions with DfE about the funding for rollout, but in our evaluation, which again is available and was independently undertaken, it demonstrated that in a year's worth of work, the team, for every £1 invested, saved £5.50 in accommodation costs alone in a year with a cohort of 23 children. So why wouldn't we do it? Why wouldn't other local authorities do it? This is and more importantly than the money, the outcomes for those children were far better than obviously putting them in secure accommodation. But we're not stopping there, because this, as Nick writes, it's not just about CSE. Mm-hmm. We think this can also be applied to any number of different contexts within that adolescent lifestyle, and included in that some of the other complex, call them complex safeguards, it's a clumsy term, but things that are happening to children, to adolescents, that weren't in the minds of legislators when child safeguarding legislation was written. So, you know, trafficking, modern slavery, FGM, sham marriages, all those things that impact on children and impact on children's lives, that, as I said in my introduction, good professionals are trying their best to keep those children safe despite the system. And what we're trying to do is rethink about that system so that it's better able to respond to the needs of those children and families. It's a huge undertaking, and it's, as I said, if it were just for one local authority, it would be big enough to do it across 10 is huge. But the benefit that we've got in Greater Manchester is devolution through health and social care, and it gives us the framework and the mechanisms for trying this new work. Now, we are constantly going back to DfE and the Home Office, who are very interested in this, to say we think national policy can be shaped by some of the findings from this. And that's where we're currently at with it all. I know it's a whistle-stop tour, and we are more than happy for you to contact us after the event, because we love talking about the project. We really believe in it. And as Nick rightly said, we've learnt a huge amount today that we're going to take back and apply to our work back in Greater Manchester.